Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Trust.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about branding.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Specifically, how to do branding for your startup. Should you worry about your brand in an early stage startup? Is it a waste of time, just buzzwords, or something that could give you a competitive edge? We've talked before about personal branding and reputation. I'll reference to those episodes in a second, but we've never talked about it from a startup perspective. So I'd love to chat with you about, because I have a sense that you have some really golden nuggets to share there. And I know that I personally have started thinking more and more about branding in startups recently, funny enough.
Well, I really want to know why you've been thinking about it. On my end, I probably think about it, branding as a whole, more than most founders, probably more than most people. And so, I think the short answer for your question, at least for me and the way I think about it, is pretty simple. Branding only matters if and when the customer is going to care about branding. Hmm. And that's just a really simple answer to just appease everybody that's listening that probably wants a quick answer. And it probably will help give you some relief. You know, if you're saying, you know, you don't have design, you literally can't do branding or whatever it is, whatever you think branding is, right? I think branding is different than brand. And what we're really talking about is brand, Steli.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, you should always be worried about your brand, whether it's personal or whether it's, you know, a company one. And I don't mean worried like in a negative way. I mean, like, it should be something that's on your mind. It should be something that in every interaction, everything that you do, you're thinking about. And then branding, as in like spending a lot of time and effort on branding, meaning a logo, the colors, the feel of your brand, it only matters if your consumer or your customer cares. For example, if you're a consumer business, it's very likely it matters a lot more than if you're a B2B business. This is changing really fast, I would say, but you know, it all has to do with your market and who else is in it and what they look like. You know, look like is what I use when, you know, in terms of the word branding. Hmm. What do they feel like? Do they have a personality? And those kind of things are really important. And one example I can give you is like, you know, I'm going to pick on Intercom for a second. They didn't really seem to care about brand or anything until many years into their business after they are doing, you know, double digit millions in revenue. And then now they have a branding team. They started caring about it. While you look at a company like MailChimp, and within a very short period of time, I think, I don't have the history to prove it, they really cared about branding. And they started having that chimp everywhere, even on like billboards.
Yeah, it is incredible how some companies have a very distinct brand that you can kind of, that you have an emotional response to and you can quote on top of your head instantly. And other companies, although they might have very comparable products, you can't, right? So with Intercom, it's funny because when I think of Intercom, again, not to pick on them, great company, but when I think of them and all their online properties, I always think Dropbox lookalike, because their first site just looked like, even the little graphics they had and how they explained the product, the blue, kind of every little
You're
detail
right.
reminded me of Dropbox. So I just never knew what their distinct personality or brand really is.
That's a good point. Yeah, so early on, I think, you know, they just essentially had a feel from a B2B company they might have admired. Maybe they did it accidentally, but that's how it felt like to you.
Yeah.
Right? Again,
yeah.
This is kind of proving the point, right? The brand only matters in the eye of the customer. That's
it. Now, one of the funny things that is happening, this is why I've been thinking about branding for startups at a much earlier stage than I used to, is that specifically in the SaaS world, I have a feeling, I don't have any data to back this up, right? But my feeling is that brand matters more and more because every single category in SaaS has seen a lot more competition and the products are a lot less distinct than they used to be. I mean, they're still very, you know, varieties and differences, but in many categories, if I look at all the available SaaS products, they're not that different from each other. you know, they're kind of closing each other's gaps and copying what works for one or the other. And then really what starts to matter more and more as you get into categories that are less and less distinguishable by pure feature sets and product is how people feel about the company overall, right? And how they think about the people that are associated with that company. And I think you saw that even in the past with, you know, companies like Salesforce and HubSpot that were occupying certain types of like thought leadership in their area. But I get the feeling that this starts to matter a lot more all of a sudden in SaaS. And I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. And I'd love to hear your thoughts because you see so much in this space. If this is just me, or if you've observed something similar.
It's very simple, right? It's actually absurdly simple. There is so much SaaS out there. Like over time, there's like layers or levels of differentiation that gets produced and or that gets required. And now, since like you said, every CRM has the same features, right? Every analytics product has the same features, right? Like every email service provider definitely has the same features. Or how do you stand out? Your biggest lever ends up being your brand, which is really the perception of your business in the eyes of your customer beyond just your product.
Mm.
That's what it boils down to. Brand goes beyond your product. And yeah, we all know product is important, blah, blah, blah. You know, I have a whole business based around that. I'm going to call it. It's really a newsletter. But, you know, and like, I can't tell you how much it's important now and why you're seeing this trend. It's not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. Just think about how many different brands and flavors of spaghetti sauce there are or detergent.
But I think it's even going to get a lot worse in software, because software, there's kind of, you know, it's not even the big brands that are around a spaghetti sauce. Some of them are global, but there's still a lot of variety in kind of local brands. There's not like just three big spaghetti sauce companies that occupy the entire market, although that might be untrue if you chunk up to the companies that own all of the food products and brands that are out there. But I feel like software, just because you can be anywhere in the world, you can be a single founder, a venture-backed company in Silicon Valley or somewhere else around the world, and you can all compete for the same customer in the same category. And oftentimes it doesn't matter to the end user when they look for an email newsletter tool where the business is located around the world. They just type that into Google and they find a bunch of sites and products and they look at them and they might do a free trial. So I feel like in software, it's going to be even a bigger thing in terms of branding competition, because there's no limitation for who can compete with you and who can compete with you for your customer. It doesn't matter if it's a global one or a local one. Now, what do you do if you are like a single founder, or if you are just starting out, putting together your startup team and putting together kind of an MVP or first version? You said branding, you should always worry about your brand, but you need to worry about it. You should also know how much does your consumer or customer worry about this, right? Or care about it. How do I go about finding out how much my customer cares about this as a single founder or a small startup team? And then let's say, you know, even if I find out that my customer might care a lot about this or increasingly about this, what do I do about my brand in the early days? Is it about great design, which I know you're going to have a good opinion on, and I'm just throwing out there to get some good discussion points. Is it all about like making things look nice? Or how do I categorize or bucket the brand discussion in my startup in the early days in terms of what activities or how to think about it? Or, you know, I'm curious about that exact part. If you're just starting out, how should you think about brand?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the simplest thing that you can do just to be very actionable is when you have a homepage, a marketing site, copy inside of your product, just think about that copy. Just actually spend an extra 10 minutes thinking about that copy if you're already not used to, you know, writing copy, thinking about the copy, and add some personality to it. Start thinking about the words you're using, your choice of words. Look for synonyms for words, right? Obviously, you want to find words that just make sense, you know, and whether it's prospects or customers or users or just people as in general understand them when they read them, but that doesn't mean you can't entertain them. That doesn't mean you can't add some kind of personality to them. that would be my advice, would be when you're thinking about your interfaces and your copy, add some personality to it. That's probably a first step in branding, or in creating a brand that I would start with. I start with that in a lot of the work I do. One example would be your welcome email that you send after someone signs up. What's up? Like, make that awesome. Don't just like think it's like an afterthought or something that you don't need to worry about.
Yeah, pay attention how you communicate with the world, right? That in itself will create a voice, and a voice is nothing else than a brand. It's the way people feel you're talking to them, your customers feel like you're talking to them, and the personality and emotional responses that they associate with that type of conversation or interaction. One thing that we did in the early days, just as a quick example as well that's practical, is that, you know, when you on a website, we had a screenshot of the product. And it was showing just an example lead page. So instead of just having some kind of a generic, you know, John Johnson, you know, whatever, Jeff Jefferson name and some generic activity and some generic exchanges, a bunch of people on our team were big Arrested Development fans. So what they did on the screenshot as well, really on all the copy and property in the early days, is that they used references from the cult TV kind of comedy series Arrested Development, and it was, the lead was called Bluth Company, and there was God Bluth and Michael Bluth, and some of the call notes were like, there's always money, the banana stands, and kind of all funky references that related to that show that has a cult following. Now, a bunch of people were coming to our site and would see that and would not pick up on the reference. To them, this was as generic as any other name could be, and that didn't matter. But to the people that were Arrested Development fans, this actually mattered a lot. And we were getting emails. And even a few days ago, somebody in Berlin stopped and asked me, you know, who came up with the idea of using Arrested Development and how much he loved it. And so it was a tiny little thing that was part of our personality as a company, as a team. And instead of just showing some generic screenshot with a bunch of example content in there that's meaningless, we used a little humor, we referenced a cult comedy show, and we got people to smile, laugh, we got people to respond and to remember us because of a tiny little thing like that.
Yeah, that's a great example. I mean, add some personality, add make surprise people, like, and do something that still makes sense with your business, but add some personality, and that starts building brand. You don't need to have a fancy logo or have the perfect color palette or have the most beautiful website in order to build your brand. You just need to think about your copy and your examples and just bring out the personality of the team, however dry the personality is too.
Absolutely. And then let's do a quick things you shouldn't do before we wrap up this episode. In terms of brand, what is a no-go in the early days where you're like, don't bother worrying about this, don't spend lots of money on this, don't invest too much time on this? Is there anything that comes to mind immediately?
If you're B2B, don't spend a lot of time and money on your brand in terms of the color palette, the logo, and things like that, unless you know what you're doing.
Mm.
That would be what I say. Know what you're doing, meaning like you have some experience or you have someone on the team that has an eye for that. You know, and the only reason I'm saying unless you know what you're doing is like, a lot of times the things I put out there have a lot more polish than what other people might do. That being said, the next couple things I'm putting out there, the logo is a bunch of letters. There's no like icon or anything like that. But yet the color palette is great, if I do say so myself. And like the user experience is nice. There's a whole bunch of reasons for that. But if you don't know what you're doing, like, and you don't have like a natural gravity towards like design and aesthetics and color palettes and like all that, then don't worry about it. If you're B2B, focus on your product, focus on the copy. I would worry about the copy always. And then if you're B2C and you're building a consumer product or even a marketplace, I would really consider looking at your competitors and seeing what their brands feel like and finding differentiation for yourself. And in those cases, I might consider spending a little more time and energy on you know, color palettes, logo, things like that.
Awesome. Yeah, I would agree and say or add to that, if you don't have a point of view, if you don't have a strong idea of how you want to communicate, what kind of voice you want to use, how to write copy, what design or logo should look like, if you have it internally, just use what you have and go with your convictions and see if they work or not. If you don't, in the early days, please don't spend any time and money on buying external expertise on this. Don't go with some kind of a branding expert or agency. Don't spend a lot of money and time, have somebody super prestigious design your logo or do anything. More often than not, it's going to be a waste of time. In the early days, you really don't yet know, as you just said, you really don't know what you're doing. You might completely change what you're doing just in a few weeks. It's not the time to spend, you know, significant money and time working with an expert outside because you feel insufficiently knowledgeable internally. So please don't work with service providers in the early days to fix this. If you can't do it yourself, do it as good as you can. Facebook is really my favorite example here, where in the early days, because they didn't really have any good designer or UI and no internal expertise, they just decided to quote unquote undesign everything. So they just decided, let's make this site as simple as possible. There's no rounded corners. There's no shadows, which was cool back in the Web 2.0 days. Let's not try to compete with Apple or somebody. Let's just make this as make the site really clean and fast and make it so undesigny by taking everything away that would look cool and fancy that we don't have to worry about improving the design because we don't know what we're doing in design. And that in itself created Facebook's brand, right, in the early days. So go with the strengths that you have internally and do your best and don't waste any time trying to find some expert agency or business, paying them way too much money and spending way too much time on something that might increasingly matter, but really on the first day, it's not, you know, it's not something you want to spend thousands of dollars and all your time on. So I think that's it from us for this episode.
Later.
We'll hear you soon. Bye-bye.